end our, conclude our series that we started the first week of July called Real, Relevant, Engaging, Authentic Life. Week one, we talked about being fishers of men. Jesus told Peter, he says, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And we've used several pictures that show us what we need to be. We need to be fishers of men. Week two, we talked about engaging influencers. And we talked about being salt and light. The week one talked about your story. You know, the hook is the gospel. Your story is the bait. Week two, we talked about being salt and light. And that means that has to do with your manner of life, the way that you conduct yourself, the way that the influence that you're supposed to have in this world. You know what? If your story doesn't match, if your life doesn't match your story, people don't want to hear it. So it's important that our lives and our story match up. And I'm not talking about being perfect, but what I'm saying is that if we don't need to lose our saltiness. We don't need to lose our light because we lose our testimony when we do that. So that part's important because we're to be influencers. And then week three, we talked about authentic witnesses. And that's one of the purposes of the Holy Spirit. The main purpose of the Holy Spirit is not for goosebumps. You know, I've been among the Pentecostals for a long time, and we thought that the Holy Spirit, you know, is to make you feel good. No, it's to be witnesses. It's to be witnesses. Now, Holy Spirit will make you feel good. How many of you know that? We had some feel good here this morning, and it had to do with the Holy Spirit. As we worship Jesus, the Holy Spirit thrills our heart. But that's not His main purpose. His main purpose is to cause us to be witnesses. Not to do witnessing, but to be witnesses. Okay? Today we're going to talk about life-giving farmers. We're going to be farmers today. And this is talking about one of the basic foundation principles of the kingdom of God. If you go back, I call it the law of Genesis. If you go back to the book of Genesis, one of the greatest principles that we see coming out of the book of Genesis is the law of seed time and harvest. Everything that we do in the natural, the reason that we have food to eat is because of the law of seed time and harvest. And when God created things, many of the things, He put the seed inside of the fruit, or the seed within itself, and it propagates itself. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is basically the law of seed time and harvest, how to be faithful farmers. And we're calling it life-giving farmers. Now, let me tell you something about our message. Our message is not to be a condemning message. There are times that the church has to stand up and make some stands on some things and talk about issues. There's times that even the church has to confront sin. But that's not our basic message. The message of the gospel is the good news, not of man's failures, but of God's grace. Ooh, I feel something now. That might be the Holy Spirit. It's God's grace. It's God's love. It's what God wants to do in our lives. And that is the life-giving message. Jesus didn't come to tell us how bad we are, although we have been bad. Can I get a witness? We have been bad. If you read the testimony of the Old Testament, much of the New Testament, you find out that people mess up. We have had a history of messing up. The good news is that Jesus came to break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. That's the good news. That's the life-giving part of it. And our story, as we share our story to the people God brings across our path, needs to be that story. See, we're not supposed to be telling folks that they're going to hell. Most people know that they're going to hell unless they're just something wrong with them. I knew I was going to hell. I didn't need somebody to tell me I was going to hell. You know what I really needed somebody to tell me? That God loved me where I was at. And he loved me too much to leave me where I was at. That's what I needed to hear. And when I got that in my mind and in my heart, that was the thing that transformed me. Not that I was a sinner, not that I was going to hell, not that I was a mess up, but it was the good news of the gospel. And if we're going to be life-giving farmers, that has to be the essence of our message. I'm going to read a couple of verses that go right along with this. In fact, this kingdom principle that we're talking about today, the law of seed time and harvest, applies to so many different areas of our life. In the natural, it applies to the very stuff that we eat is a result of somebody sowing a seed and a harvest. The food that we eat, the meat that we eat, in this reference here, it's talking about giving your offerings, although we're not going to talk about that today. That'll be another time. But it's talking about giving. It talks about love. We could talk about hate. We could talk about forgiveness. We could talk about unforgiveness. All of it has to do with the law of seed time and harvest. We live by the law of seed time and harvest. And it is, to me, it is the most extraordinary principle of the Word of God is seed time and harvest. It really is. It is the most, if you want to understand the Bible, if you'll get a hold of the law of seed time and harvest and you'll start applying it to your life, it will answer a lot of questions for you. See, I've seen people say, well, I just don't understand why this happened to me. Could be the law of seed time and harvest. It could be that. And a lot of times, it is. Not every time. Sometimes the devil attacks you. But a lot of the crazy things that happens in our lives has to do with the seeds that we've sown. Now, what we need to learn how to do is to start planting the right kinds of seed, and we'll get a different harvest. And that's a job, because this is a whole lot deeper than what we're talking about today. In fact, my message today is very simple. In fact, it's going to be so simple that you're going to say, oh, I knew that. But it is deeply profound. The simple things, many times, are the deep things. And the simplicity of the things that I'm going to share today are profound if you will begin to do them in your life. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. This has to do with giving, but we're going to give it we're not going to change it, but it applies to what we're talking about. This. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your own heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives generously. Now, that's talking about the giving of your offerings. But in that is the concept of seed time and harvest. What happens if you do not sow? You do not reap. Okay? If a farmer does not sow, he does not reap. Now, the next scripture that we're going to read is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Beginning with verse 6. Now, this is talking about the gospel here. Although it's the same principle, it's talking about the gospel. In fact, what Paul was dealing with here, he was dealing with a church that was divided over personality. I'm of Paul, and I'm of Peter, and I'm of Christ. All of that, that's what he was dealing with, that controversy. They were trying to establish denominations. I might say it that way. The Peter denomination, the Paul denomination, and the church, the Christ denomination. Okay. So they were trying to segregate themselves around personalities. And he was dealing with this, and he says this: I planted the seed in your heart, and Apollos watered it. But it was God who made it grow. Now, there's a lot of lessons that we can learn from right here. The two things that he said that people are supposed to do is to do what? To plant and water. Say that with me. Plant and water. plant and water. That's our job. Who makes it grow? God. Who gets the credit? God. What's our job? Plant and water. Plant and water. Everything that we do as the church is planting and watering. Planting and watering. You know what I'm doing right now? I'm planting and I'm watering. Maybe you didn't know that, but that's what I'm doing. I'm telling, maybe some of you have never heard this before. I'm planting. Maybe you have heard this before. I'm watering. You know what I'm expecting God to do? Is make it grow. Are you ready? Are you ready for some growth in your life? We need it. I need it. You need it. Okay, let's go on. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their own hard work. For we are both God's workers. The King James says we are laborers together with God. God has partnered with the church. The army that we were singing about a while ago, there's an army rising up. You know, God doesn't do all the work. He has partnered with the army that's rising up, the church. That's me and thee. Our job is to... what is it? His job is to grow the seed. Now, if we're not... what is he not doing? He's not growing the seed because there's no seed to grow. Can I say this without being judgmental? There are many churches who are not planting and watering. That's why they are shrinking. Okay? I want to be a life-giving church. I want to be one that is faithful to plant and water. Plant and water. Well, I'm tired of water. You'll die without it. I'm tired of that seed. You'll die without it. You won't grow without it. You know, we're always wanting... somebody needs to hear this. We're always wanting to hear something new. Why would God tell us anything new if we're not doing what he's already told us to do? Just a thought. Just a thought. Think about it. Okay. That put a damper on everything, didn't it? There's three things I want to talk about today about you being a life-giving farmer. That's the whole story. Being a life-giving farmer. Learning to plant and water. Learning to plant and water. There's three things that we need to know about it. Number one, are you ready? This is deep. This is deep. You reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. How's your garden growing? If you look in your garden, and we're talking about sharing your story, about bringing people to Christ... statistics tell us that probably over 90% of Christians have never led anyone to Christ. People say, well, I didn't know that was my job. That's because we've had wrong thinking about what the church is. Pastor, I thought that was your job. It's my job as a believer. It's not my job as a pastor. My job as a pastor is to equip you to do the work of the ministry. It is my responsibility and your responsibility as believers to do the work of the ministry. I do the work of the ministry. My number one job as pastor teacher is to equip you to do the work of the ministry. You reap what you sow. If your garden is bare, if you can't think of anybody that you've ever led to Christ, and it's God who gives the increase, where might the problem be? And there's no increase, is there a problem with God? Do y'all think there's a problem with God? Do y'all think there's a problem with God? Where's the problem? With the person who is not sowing and not watering. So as we sow and water, because we reap what we sow. So what if you sow nothing? You reap. You might get some weeds. That might be the reasons that we have so many weeds in our lives. It's because we're not sowing the right kind of seeds. Okay? But if you sow nothing, you get. If you sow something, you get something, don't you? If you sow the right kind of seeds, you get the right kind of harvest. Because you reap what you sow. This applies to every area of your life. It applies to finances. It applies to love. It applies to hate. It applies to forgiveness. You know why the Bible says that God will not forgive our sins? Because we do not forgive those who trespass against us. You know what that is? That's the law of sowing and reaping. That's what it is. When we forgive, then we can be forgiven. If we do not forgive, we cannot be forgiven. Because you know what you do when you do not forgive? You sow and you water. You sow and you water. Because you've sown that seed of unforgiveness and you water it in your mind. You water it with thoughts and you talk about it and it festers and it gets bigger and it begins to produce. It's the law of seed time and harvest. See, if we're smart, we learn how to sow the right kind of seed. If there's something that you need in your life, then you need to sow a seed toward that. Well, people just don't love me. Do you love people? If you will show love, well, I showed love one time and it wasn't returned. You know, every seed that's sown on the ground does not produce. But if you get enough seed out there, you know what's going to happen? It will produce. You know, I found out something, and I've learned this lesson over the years, because I had a big inferiority complex. It was bad. And I thought that people didn't like me. And therefore, I didn't talk to people. And it seemed like nobody liked me because nobody talked to me. But I didn't talk to people. I would avoid people. And there were people who thought I was snobby, and I really wasn't snobby. I just thought people didn't like me, though. Therefore, I didn't talk to people. But you know what? I learned a lesson. If I would begin to talk to people, and I would begin to be nice to people, and I would show interest in people, and I would love people, people started responding back to me. Everybody? No. But a lot of people. A lot of people. I learned about the law of seed time and harvest. If I wanted love, I had to give love. If I want forgiveness, I have to give forgiveness. If I want friends, I got to show myself friendly. It's a biblical principle. If you want to get people into the kingdom, you have to share your story. Is everybody going to accept your story? No. But if you get enough seed out there, some of that's going to hit on good ground. And guess what's going to happen? You will have opportunity to influence people for the kingdom of God. Don't let fear keep you back. That's our biggest booger is fear. We get all boogered about fear. What are they going to think about me? What if they think I'm crazy? What if they don't like me after they hear my story? I've been to prison. What if they call me a felon, or they do this, or do they do that? Well, that's their problem. You know what I've noticed? When people are open and honest, people appreciate that. People respond to that in a good. If you try to cover up your past, people will disrespect you. But if you're open and honest about the things that you've had to deal with in your past, people, by and large, you'll find some sometimes that won't, but people, by and large, will have a whole lot more respect for you. If I get up here and act like I've arrived in every area, you're not going to respect that. But you know what? If I open up and say, hey, I struggled with this. I think you respect that more about me being open about that, because you can see that I'm just as human as you are. And I think we like open and honesty. So we have to get our stories out there. We have to not be afraid to tell our stories, because you reap what you sow. Now, here's number two. You reap after you sow. You reap after you sow. What would you think about a farmer that went out to his ground and said, "Give me crops and I'll sow a seed"? What would you think about that farmer? Yeah, crazy? He don't know a lot about farming, does he? Isn't it amazing? Christians that'll say, "God bless me, then I'll give. God do this, and then I'll do this." Well, you know, God's already done that when he sent Jesus. He already made the first move. We want him to make the first move, the second move, the third move, the fourth move, the fifth move, before we ever respond. No, he has given, already given. He's already made the way. But guess what? We reap after we sow. You'll never win anybody to Christ before you share your story. That's the reason most Christians have never won anybody to Christ, because they don't share their story. You reap after you sow. Now here's the third, and this is the best one. You ready for this? You reap more than you sow. You reap more than you sow. You know what? When you sow corn, if you sow two kernels of corn, does the cob have two kernels of corn on it? You know what would happen if we only got back what we sowed? It would be extinct, because we'd eat it. You reap more than you sow. It's a principle. You reap more than you sow. Let me say it another way. I can take an apple and cut it open, and I can count the seeds inside of an apple. But one thing I cannot count is how many apples there are in a seed. It's the way the law of God is designed, that you can cut it open and count the seeds in an apple, but you can't count the apples in a seed. I have in my, and I should have went and got it, I have in my office a shotgun shell. I've had it for a couple of years now. And that shotgun shell represents the potential of my story. Does that shotgun shell have the potential of power? Huh? Does it? Have anybody ever shot a shotgun? Is there the potential for the release of power in that shotgun shell? When is that power released? When I do something with the shell. I put it in the shotgun, I pull the trigger. When it's released, it releases its power. You don't want to be in front of it when the power is released. Your story has potential, but it has no power until it's released. As we begin to release the story, the seed goes out there. Now, does every seed produce? No. But it will produce more than you sowed. If you get enough seed out there, if you sow enough seed out there, it will produce. And it is going to produce more than you sowed. It's called the law of God. It's the law of the kingdom. Your story will produce more than you can imagine. Let me tell you a story. Back in the earlier days of this or last century, there was an evangelist, a very well-known evangelist, and his name was Mordecai Ham. And he traveled from church to church, and he did big crusades. He was a very compelling speaker. And he won hundreds and thousands of people to Christ. But he went to this one town, and he was there for several weeks, and he was getting results, and people were being saved. But there was a reluctant young man in that community who heard about that revival that was going on, and he did not want to go. He was resistant for several weeks about going to that revival. And it was not until one of his friends went to that revival and was saved that he was convinced to go to that revival meeting. He went one night. The guy preached. He was resistant. In fact, he was under conviction, but he was resistant to the preaching of the word. That Mordecai Ham was putting the seed out there, and he was getting a harvest, and he was getting people saved. But this one young man was resistant, and he resisted for several days. And finally one night, he walked the aisle and gave his heart to Jesus Christ. That young man's name was Billy Graham. Now, what kind of influence has Billy Graham had on this earth? The seeds that Mordecai Ham sowed into his life, what kind of effect has that had on this world? Sometimes I wonder, as we preach and teach and win people to Christ, we never know who sits in these seats. We never know the power of the influence that we might have and the things that we might be sowing in some of these young people and what they may become for the kingdom of God. See, that potential is out there. But what if we sow no seed? It's sad that there are churches all over America that have never in years had people saved. Now that's a tragedy. I think God will talk to those churches about that. Our responsibility is to preach the gospel, to sow the seed, to get it out there. The responsibility of the church and the community is to share their story and get it out there and bring people to Christ. But there's so many churches that is not happening in. I don't want this church to ever become a church like that. I want this church to be known as life-giving. And part of that life-giving function is people coming to faith in Christ. I don't think we can please God without that. But it's not just my responsibility. It's our responsibility. Where do you work? Where do you work? Picture your work in your mind. Where do you go to school? Picture your school in your mind. Where do you shop? Picture that in your mind. That's your mission field. That's where you're supposed to be sharing your story. Your places of influence. That's where the story needs to be told. That's where the seed needs to be sown. We got to keep seed on the ground. We got to keep seeds in the ground. I'm not going to break down, I promise. I'm tempted. Because you reap what you sow. You reap after you sow, and you reap more than you sow. You know, I want to see us have to go to two or three more services a week. And I don't say that for ego reasons. I got plenty to do. It might knock me out of watching some of my Razorback football games. But you know what? I can DVR those suckers. I've got plenty to do. But I know that we've got a big job. And I know there's people need to be saved. And I know it's our responsibility. I would love for us to have to go to multiple services every weekend. So you want to build a bigger church? Not really. I'd like to fill this one up 5 times every weekend. I know my praise team loves to hear that. I could preach 5 times every weekend. That just turns my crank. You know how that happens? You're out there sowing your story. You out there sharing the gospel. They may not all come to church here, and that's cool. We'll help build other churches. But I think God wants to build this one too. I think He wants this to be a place where chains are broken. And I know that chains can be broken here because I know what we preach and teach here. And it's the grace of God. It's the power of God. And that's what it's all about. I want you to picture something in your mind right now. I've had you picturing stuff. But I want you to see in your mind right now what your garden looks like right now. What does it look like? How many people have you brought into the kingdom that you know of? I'm not talking about what you don't know of. I'm talking about what you know of. I'm not saying this to pump you up or to condemn you. Reality check. How many people have you brought to Christ? Does your garden look big or does it look scarce? Now I want you to imagine what your garden could look like if you consistently sowed and watered your story, the seed. If you would sow the seed and water it. Now, how do you do that? You share your story with people. You look for opportunities to encourage them. I would say, I see Jim having a hard time. He doesn't know Christ, and I've sowed my seed, and I've watered it, and I see him having a hard time. I said, Jim, I just want you to know I'm here for you. I'm praying for you. I love you. If you need me, that's how you water. It's not preaching at them. I remember when I went through this, Jim. And I remember how somebody helped me. And I'm here to help you. I want you to know that I'm committed to you and your family. How can I help you? How can I find a way to be a blessing to people? That's what you call sowing and watering. See, your job is to do 2 things. Sow and water. Sow and water. What does the Holy Spirit work at doing? Causing the seed to grow. Who breaks the chains? The Lord does. But He'll use you to be part of that. He partners with us to do those very things. Amen. I'm going to ask my prayer team to come at this time. Now next week, this is the end of this series. Next week we start a series called Real Stories. And I've got some people coming in that's going to share their stories. Next week it'll be Casey Barker. He's big in the Celebrate Recovery circuit. He has a tremendous story. The next week after that will be Stephen Sexton. He'll be with us to share his story. And then some ladies from Teen Challenge will be coming the next week to share their story. And then the last week, I'm going to share my story. And here's your challenge. Invite people to come that don't know Christ. Because I'm believing that God is going to reach some people. And your job is to invite them. Bribe them if you have to. Take them out to lunch. You'll take them out to lunch after service. Get people here who don't know Christ. This will be a life-giving experience for the next 4 weeks. I believe God wants to do something significant. But it won't work if you don't help. So will you commit to do that? Will you invite people? Yes or no? Yes. How many say no? Okay, I expect 100% participation. Nobody said no. You wouldn't dare say no, would you? Because you know that. No, I'm serious about this. Invite people to come. Invite people to come. They need it. It may mean the difference in their eternity, and that's important. Now, we're going to pray. And the reason we got the prayer team up here, if you have any kind of need in your life, maybe you need to make Jesus Lord. We're always open to that. If you're here today and don't know Christ and want to get to know Him as Lord and Savior, they'll pray with you to do that. Whatever it is that you have need of today, you can come and they'll pray with you. Physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, they'll pray with you about it. But I want to pray over the word that's sown. But as I pray, you respond and come on. Don't wait for me to say amen. Father God, in Jesus' name, thank you for your word. Thank you for the life-giving word that breaks the chains. Lord, break the chains of indifference in our lives. Break the chains of fear when it comes to sharing our stories. Break the chains that bind us from being what we ought to be for your kingdom and your glory. Deal with our hearts today, God. Holy Spirit, speak to us in a mighty way that we might know that our responsibility is to share the story, to plant and to water, and you give the increase. I thank you in Christ's name. Amen.